Dumelang Tebela, hello and welcome back to the SL Cabinet. My name is Gwena Mashale and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Herman Molloy.
Hi, guys.
Guys, Herman is finally back from the Matanga Commission, well, just for today. But it's finally good to have him back, hey? So, guys, new week, but still the same content. So let's dive right in. First up on the list is Cat Matlala. Guys, I think we all know at this point the name of Cat Matlala. I would like to say it become a household name, but obviously it's not a good thing. But moving on, essentially, he appeared before the ad hoc committee and he released a lot of news, guys, explosive content there. And I want to take you back to remind you of what Ubekitlele had said, right? Bekitlele, when he was before the ad hoc committee, he said that he only knew Cat Matlala during the time when he came to Durban, I think it was that time. Yeah. He came to Durban to see Bekitlele because he wanted assistance in getting like the whole raid situation that was happening at his home stopped. And also because that he also didn't want to open a case against was Khumalo, right? And so essentially that's how they came to know each other. And from there, Tlele said that yena, he doesn't really know Vusi Cat Matlala beyond that. And they're not business partners. However, Cat Matlala yesterday, amongst the many things he spoke about, athi, no, Tlele, me and him, like, we're close, man. I've given this man close to 500,000 rand in cash. Well, not cash, but money. And I want us to just take a look at that clip.
Yes. So he requested. Yes, but I didn't pay 150. Once it was accommodation, flights.
So did he what he wanted the money for? Did he say that, can you give us this assistance for this activity?
Yes, he said that.
He said for January 8th.
Yes.
Did he mention who was also to benefit from that amount?
Yes, he said the minister.
So he was asking the money on behalf of the minister. That is how he requested for it.
According to him, yes.
According to him.
Yes.
Him and the minister, or the minister only.
Say that again.
Him and the minister, according to his request, was it for him and the minister or for the minister only?
No, it was, from what I understand, the minister sent him to go and ask for donations there and there.
Okay.
And then I was one of them.
Okay.
And then he asked me that money so I can donate for them for this January 8th thing of theirs. So I don't know who was going to benefit there.
So you just send the money. You don't know how it was spent and on what? You don't know. You just sent it.
The flight, I paid them directly. I knew this is where the flights, because he sent me the ID numbers.
Okay.
So I have them on my WhatsApp chat.
Did former Minister Tlele lie under oath about those issues in relation to your name?
Yes, he lied under oath.
Thank you.
If he was asking, he was sucking information, why would he even ask me to ask my protectors to take him and his wife to a wedding somewhere in Lanseria? So that there was no way from me sending my protectors to drive him to a wedding, there was no way he will get information from those guys. He don't know them. If he wanted information, he was supposed to all the time make sure that I'm with him so that he can suck information from me. But it was for his own benefit. I even gave him even money. Then if you are here to suck information, that money, declare it somewhere that okay, this guy gave me this money, and then. But since we know that we want information, I had to ask money from him. I don't think he even declared that money.
So Herman, out of all the things that shocked you, well, I don't know if they shocked you, but what did you find most interesting from Cat Matlala's testimony?
So for me, the most interesting thing about this Cat Matlala character, it's how everyone was able to get something, you know, to benefit from him. You know, I mean, we had Brown Mokgotsi got almost 500k allegedly.
Yes.
And now even Bekitlele got money from this guy. So this guy actually is a blesser of politicians. He was out there blessing them, giving them nice times. And also he says that I transported Bekitlele from my penthouse in Pretoria to a wedding in Lanseria.
Mm.
And he says, I have met him a couple of times, yeah. Contrary to what Cele told the ad hoc committee.
Mm.
And also, the picture that is painted by Matlala, it's somehow related to a picture that was painted by Brown Mokgosi before Matlanga Commission, whereby they're saying Cele received money, whereby they're saying Matlala met with KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Commissioner and Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. So it shows. And also the interesting point for me is that before their appearance, their cell phones were taken.
Yeah.
We still need to hear if they had communication between them around that time.
Mm.
I'll tell you why, because if you check their statement, it's like they are removing Nkunu from the picture. I'm not saying he's involved until investigation reveal otherwise. But Nkunu and Brown Mokgosi and Matlala have totally removed Nkunu from the picture.
Mm.
And remember when Nkunu testified before the ad hoc, he said, I got an affidavit from Matlala, whereby Matlala admits not knowing me.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting that it went to that point, to that level, whereby Nkunu felt the need to go to Matlala and say, hey, chief, write a statement to say you don't know me. And Matlala, when he's asked, I mean, it's a question that pops up. I mean, if I ask you, do you know Ramaphosa?
Mm.
Obviously, you know Ramaphosa. There's no need for you to say, no, I don't know him.
Yeah.
Once you say, I don't know him, you're raising more questions because you're linked to this guy. I mean, you can say, I know him. I've seen him on TV. Yeah. It's not that deep.
I think it's a two for one thing. For me, it's more on the fact that, like you mentioned, he mentioned Mkhwanazi. But then at the beginning, he says, no, he had a conversation with Mkhwanazi himself. They talked about how Mkhwanazi said that he's going to get him. And then later on, two sentences later, he says Mkhwanazi, no, actually was saying he's going to help him.
Yeah.
And it's a very contradicting thing. And then you move on to the conversations of Nkunu. Like, he's touching, but not touching. He's touching and letting go. And you guys were discussing this in the car, but I was also talking to Jeanette about it in the sense that Kat Matlala is seeming to not be interrogated properly. He's being asked by questions by multiple people. The questions are sometimes irrelevant, and it's a thing of actually we just want him to go before the Matlanga Commission, because there you'll have a judge, you'll have people who know how to prosecute, who know how to say, okay, you're saying you gave Bekki Cele 500,000 rand, show us.
But also to give them a benefit of a doubt, I mean, they even said, even him, he said that the final statement, he didn't see it. He only saw it in the morning. Hence, he was rectifying some of the mistakes and everything. So for me, the ad hoc, it seems to be in a rush, but it misses certain steps along the way, because you're allowing the person to rectify. Next thing, tomorrow he's going to come and say, hey, you pressurized me. I was not in my sober state of mind. So everything I said because I was pressurized. And the thing of questions, for me, it appears like everyone is trying to promote their political party.
Yeah.
Some questions are irrelevant. Some questions are repetition of a question that has been asked before.
Mm.
And you even found Matlala asking you, hey, can you please clarify your question? Mm. Even the SC, sometimes he throws like jabs at them to say, guys, there's no need for you to ask that. and somehow you're trying to portray yourself as a reader.
Yeah.
You ask questions whereby, I mean, this his statement is characterized into certain aspects.
Mm.
And you find someone going to the last part to say, hey man, I see your statement says this. what can you say about that?
No.
And you find when the SC has to come now.
Has to interview. Yeah, and I saw that one part. He's like, guys, can we not jump to questions? You guys are jumping ahead.
That's why I feel like although we want answers, and rightfully so, we need them within a period of time.
Mm.
But also, we have to be considerate that this is an investigation. We have to go through the process.
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think every protocol needs to be observed, in a sense, in a state like that. And when you say that it was rushed, I mean, you do see that he himself said that he was not ready.
Yeah, he even sent last hour papers. But also, it somehow sounds like a technique, you know, something like, hey, chief, I'm not coming.
Yeah, everyone is playing that. Reminds me of someone else who says he's not coming.
Oh,
thank you for catching it on. Okay, so let you guys in on the laugh. So the reason why we're laughing was saying someone else didn't appear at Parliament is because the former RAF CEO Collins Letswalo was summoned multiple times to appear in Parliament. Yeah, now he goes on SNBC. And says that he's not going to appear before the kangaroo god.
He says it's a kangaroo god.
He says he does not agree with the fact that Songos ZP, who is the chairperson of the SCOPA committee, says that he does not like the fact that ZP is the executioner, the adjudicator, the witness, the elector. He says that it's just nonsense. So he's not going there. He says they do not have the authority to even investigate into RAF. He says that should be done by the transport, parliament and all that. But guys, Letswalo is a character of himself, guys. But I think the Matala case is still going to be unraveling. He's back again today.
We're
going to hear more definitely traumatizing, maybe even laughable things. Because I think we continue to relive in that meme that says South Africa is a movie. Because honestly, it is. And yeah, you have to be there. Hey? But moving on, another movie, another drama that we're experiencing as a country is the United States. So, women don't laugh. So, President Donald Trump, as usual, went on Twitter to rant. And in his rant, he calls again South Africa being racist, how we have so many racist laws, and there's again a white genocide. And he then finalizes and says, you know what, on top of all of this, South Africa is not invited to the G20 that will be hosted in Miami, Florida. And honestly, the president then comes out, the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, comes out to say, we are getting tired. Okay, he doesn't say it like that. Let me put it in a more diplomatic way. He says that it's regrettable that the country needs to be subjugated again once more to such lies and fabrications, and it's not true. And then he also goes on to say that South Africa is a member of the G20, and it's not up to the president of Donald Trump, the president of the United States, to state that they cannot be like they right attend. So I think Trump is really trying to like get on the neck of South Africa as much as he can, even though he doesn't really have the substantial amount or evidence or anything to kind of like back up his reasoning. At this point, many people have come out. I mean, the France president even said himself, there's no white genocide in the country. People have supported the South African country so many times to say there's nothing like that. And yet this man is doubling down on his threats. Even going as far as saying South Africa is not invited, imagine telling someone who's a unilateral member that they're not invited to something that they have to be there for. Herman, thoughts?
So for me, I mean, if you look at what President Ramaphosa's closing remarks, he said, we will continue working with US presidency in the G20 in 2026. And we'll meet again 2027 in New York. So he saw it coming. Oh, this one is going to pull this trigger. And this thing, white genocide, it's getting tiring. It's getting tiring because, you know, when you are telling someone the gospel truth and they keep questioning you and you are now made to look like an idiot. So I feel like there's no need for us to even negotiate with Trump. I mean, we gave him through the back door because he wanted through the back door. So he got it. I mean, what he wanted, Trump, it's no longer about the white genocide, but it's to show that US still has powers over countries and we can bully you. Nothing can happen to us. But also, South Africa government is like, we are not being the part of this thing. You are not going to bully us. Mm. President Ramaphosa has said a couple of times to say, we will not be bullied.
Mm.
Which is, for me, I've seen it in action. Yeah. How we treated them in terms of the G20 summit. Yeah. And also, even when we were told that our president is running his mouth.
Oh my gosh.
There was no attention paid to that thing, you know. It was like, oh, okay. Another conversation.
But I think a lot of people went to Twitter and TikTok and said, man, running his mouth.
I mean, South Africans, we reacted. But in just terms of government, state, yes. Yeah, it was not paid too much attention to it.
I'd be happy to explain, because there is not a shift. The United States is not participating in official talks at the G20 in South Africa. I saw the South African president running his mouth a little bit against the United States and the president of the United States earlier today, and that language is not appreciated by the president or his team. The ambassador or the representative of the embassy in South Africa is simply there to recognize that the United States will be the host of the G20. They are receiving that send-off at the end of the event. They are not there to participate in official talks, despite what the South African president is falsely claiming.
I mean, I feel like from now on, we just blue tick whatever Trump says, and AfriForum, because it's involved. We have seen them solidarity. We have seen them posting banners before the summit, trying to paint a picture that we are the most regulated. I mean, for me, if you are saying we are the most regulated, you are honestly speaking the truth, because if you look at the Cape Town and Khayelitsha, it's two different spaces. If we look at Sandton and Katlehong or Soweto or whatever, Tembisa, we live in a different place. If you look at Pretoria East, where most white people live, and you look at Soshanguve, you look at Hammanskraal, where there's no running water. So they are speaking the truth, but they are putting it the wrong way. They are saying the laws are against them. The laws are very in favor of them.
And most of them even find ways to bypass most of the race-regulated laws that they are claiming.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's very ridiculous. But
no, it's getting tiring. It really is. We must tell them. They must just go and get their permanent residence that side.
I think Shame, speaking of residency, did you see the part about Leledi Pandor, her visa being rejected? Well, revoked.
It was gonna happen. and I mean she's among the targeted because of the stance against Israel.
Mm.
I mean, she was the international minister at the time when we took the Israel state to ICJ and say their committee on genocide. So she will be actively targeted for that stance. And even at the current administration, I mean, we know the DA says they believe in two-way street. But we know what they advocated for over the years. We have seen them going to Israel and saying, hey, this is our buddies. So, I mean, we're still going to get rough patches from USA.
Mm.
But also, I'm happy that this thing is happening, because if you saw how the G20 was, everyone was happy to be in South Africa. Prime Minister of India was posting every minute to say that I'm going to the loo, I'm coming back.
I was having my friends and I were having this conversation that, you know, out of all the people who enjoyed themselves in South Africa, is that man. And my friend was like, he must just post that South Africa owes me nothing.
Da Silva also, you saw their videos Archie posted whereby he's being playful. Argentina, although they didn't support the declaration, but they were here. Mexico, for me, it does not count. I mean, you know Mexico for what they are. So to say that. And then there's US also. And yeah,
I mean, I think
the summit was a success.
The summit was definitely a success. Everyone who was there enjoyed themselves. I think businesses very much benefited. Every country left there with a sense of, okay, we came here something. Yeah. We're leaving here with something substantial. So I think in every sense of the word, everybody enjoyed themselves with or without the US. And I think hey, I was about to get to that. Please don't jump ahead when. But I think in any sense of the word, guys, I think what I really loved is the fact that all the other presidents or the people who were there respected Ramaphosa despite what was happening with the US. And I think one thing that I think we all must give to the man in regards to his flowers is his diplomatic side. Definitely. His business side. He's very
international affairs.
That man knows everything back to back. Sharp. People were like, I think most even South Africans were commending him for that was the fact that Shapo, local stuff, not really good at, but outside, and there's nothing else that we can say that he can't do. But
so I just want to add this before I forget it. You know, we always say we have incapable leaders.
Yeah.
We always judge Dada Morero and say, yeah, he's not performing. But look at this past weekend. It was a success. Mm. Everything was going well. They didn't have load shedding and everything. Which shows that these people, if they want to, they would.
Yes, they're definitely capable. And I think that's the one thing that also showed the rest of the residents in the country is that you guys have the capacity, the will. You guys just, it's a thing, it's guests.
We must bring visitors every month
because clearly you guys can do it. You guys can clean the streets, guys. Yeah. People were being shocked at the machines that are busy showing up.
I'm told at 10. That you can call someone at 10, go MTN. You don't even check time
I think the shocking part is the lights, guys. The street lights. I mean,
sure you are surprised. Yo! You are not used to.
And then zombie snacks. But I mean you can stop it. But everything was fixed, guys. And we just hope that obviously, like how they were saying before the G20, that everything will work before or will work after the G20. We hope that they keep the same consistency after the G20. I'm telling you, some people are like, no, guys, that's bad. By December, brudu. Everything is falling apart.
I didn't believe them. By November, we'll be here. We'll be looking at a clean city.
But
here we are. We can smell fresh air after
years. I mean, now you're crossing the line. Fresh air.
After years.
Aye, my brother. But you know what? While the rest of us were behaving, there were others who went to the Nazareth area and then they got pepper sprayed. Shame. It was, I think, one thing I actually want to congratulate South Africans on Hore. Like, you guys showed Rosandile, you showed her that wrong time, my sister. Wrong timing. And everybody was so much, like, I think she expected everybody to be backing her up in regards to that stance and how they pulled up that stunt there at Nazareth. But the whole country was like, no, wrong timing. Yes, we get it, but it's very much wrong timing. And for you to do that and then still go forward and say, no, I was purpose saying when we're not doing anything wrong, we're doing a peaceful march. Kanjani, peaceful march.
Again, for me, it's not even about wrong timing. You can protest whenever you want to, when you feel like you have grievances. But you are told, okay, please stand here, protest here. I know South African protests are very active, are very alive. Yes. But you are told this is the spot where you are supposed to be when you protest. Mm. I mean, we heard that there was a Human for Change on the other side. There were magistrates who were saying, we're not getting paid enough.
Yeah.
We didn't even see their pictures. The way they behaved, you know. This team wants to get there. They want to grab attention. They want to block roads, you see. And they should be called out for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we might say you support them for whatever stance they take or whatever reasons they were raising at that time.
Yeah.
But for that reason that they failed to behave, they should be called out to say, guys, you were wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But hopefully we'll see. I hope this all this United States drama just dies out by next year, guys, because honestly, we're getting tired of it. But moving on, ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula won a gag order against Ubraun Mokgosi.
Against the agent. You must emphasize police agent.
Against police agent Ubraun Mokgosi. And this is after Mokgosi went on multiple interviews to basically publicly accuse Mbalula of being involved in a 2015 murder of businessman Wandile Bozwana, and benefiting from the Free State housing scandal as well. So, guys, Mbalula, I think multiple times he's called out Ubraun Mokgosi and said, we don't know this man. I am the Secretary General. All the memberships must go through me. And I'm Diaz. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, I'll choose one.
But let's take a look at that clip.
The only person in the ANC constitution who account about membership, it's me, as the Secretary General. Who's Ubraun Mokgosi to claim membership of the ANC when I'm telling him that he's not a member? And he says that he's a member. You can believe him as far as you can. The ANC statutes and constitution are clear that the Secretary General you pass here about your membership. I account to the National Executive Committee, to conference, to the officials and everybody else. And I have done the work and with my branch in Northwest, with the province, the guy is not a member. So who else is going to impose him or herself to the organization? There's nobody. He's not a member. And we've got no business of taking him anywhere because he's not a member of the ANC. And that is it. He's an associate. You know, he's a hangers-on. So hangers-on of leaders. In the story sets about generations. There's nothing I can say to you about the things he have said, which are false. So my lawyers are busy with him in terms of defamatory action. He will have to prove in court. I don't have any other recourse.
So essentially he pursued Ubraun Mokgosi in early October. He's like, I'm going to sue him. And he ended up suing him. And the court actually granted him this gag order to say that all these things Ubraun Mokgosi is spewing is harmful, lies, and it's just definitely defamation. And honestly, at this point, guys, along with the other things Ubraun Mokgosi has said called the ad hoc committee, I feel like we need to, as a country, just establish that Ubraun Mokgosi is a professional liar.
You didn't say that about agents.
Amen thoughts.
So, I mean, to be quite honest with you, what Ubraun Mokgosi said, it's something that is in the public domain. But instead of saying it's alleged to, he used it as a fact. Which is why Mbalula had the authority to say, I'm suing you for this statement. The Bozwana case, we all know that there are allegations that he is
involved
in being friends with Vusi KK. Let's not say the murder. Yeah. But it's still allegations. Mm. It has not been proven in any court of law. It has not been tested. And also with the Free State scandal, we see that now the court are going. We have seen court appearance of Ace Magashule and his PA, his then PA. We have seen a couple of them. We have seen Edwin Sodi, who's also involved. So we don't know how the status of the investigation
is going.
Yeah. We don't know if there will be more arrests, there will be more appearance. So, yeah, Mokgosi was careless to use such words as fact.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Mbalula was right.
And was granted order. I think in his sense, Mokgosi likes speaking. I think we can put it like that. He likes speaking, and when you give him attention, he even speaks even more. Yeah. I mean, that's evident in the Matlanga Commission, but we'll not get into that part. It's fine with his CIA intelligence, but it's fine.
The best in the country.
Yeah, just move on. Let's move on. So, Gauteng High Court Judge Portia Phatlani has been placed on special leave following her dramatic court appearance on Wednesday. And she was arrested earlier this week alongside her son and church leader, Michael Sandlana, facing charges of corruption and money laundering. Herman was covering that court case.
I was covering it. Tulane was covering it. But I have the details. Yes. Yeah. So, first of all, we have to give Modiba, the journalist, his flowers for this thing, you know. It came to light because of the effort that he put. I mean, Judge Poshia Pahlani even sent lawyers to say, you need to stop making these allegations against me. And a week after, we see her arrest.
Yeah.
So, she's quite an old, sweet lady. From the experience that I had in her courtroom, the allegations are very serious. Mm. I mean, if you receive $3 million from an accused person to judge in his favor, it's quite concerning. But also, it goes back to what Mkhwanazi said on the 6th of July, to say even the judiciary is involved in corruption activities. So basically, what she is accused of, she's accused of, so there's a litigation of this church. They are fighting for succession. IPHC.
Oh, IPHC.
Yeah. So the father died years back. So now they are fighting who should lead. So it's between two brothers, as far as I understand. So Michael Sandlana is one of the brothers. So they are accusing her of receiving money from Michael Sandlana, Begu Mosi Sandlana, who said, hey, you need to rule in my favor for me to become
the leader
of this church.
Mm.
And this lady, Poshia Pahlani, this judge, received $2 million or more than $2 million in this case. And allegation goes beyond her receiving that money. It also states that at the time when this whole thing happened, she had a debt with her property in Northwest Hartis. It's Northwestern Pretoria. So it gives you a sense of a will for someone to receive money from a corrupt individual or alleged corrupt individual. So yeah, for me it's an interesting matter in the South African, because it was the first time I see a judge in the dock as an accused. We always see magistrate in the dock as a witness to say, I presided over this matter, but here we are, you know. Not saying I believe that I'm not corrupt in this case.
And we're seeing the same thing play out but the other one is a sexual matter, the sexual harassment matter. Which one is this guy? Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting.
And his name. No, but it's not a court of law. Ubabu Mbenenge.
Ubabu Mbenenge. Okay, I see what you mean. You're talking about an actual court where that one is a mildly different one.
And also, that one is trying to prove that, firstly, it's trying to prove if the relationship was mutual agreement or it was
one-sided
power over a junior. This one, we are saying, hey, chief, you are corrupt. Yeah. And you are saying, why? We're saying, you receive money. Okay, I receive money. Why? Because you wanted to draw this guy to benefit. It's a serious matter.
It's a very serious matter. And we'll let the courts handle that one. But moving on, another serious matter in the courts, guys. This is Le Duzuma.
it's funny because... Sorry to take over, but
I'm laughing and I can't talk.
It's funny for me how the MK has been releasing statements to say, we condemn this, Ramaphosa did that. But then they seem to be silent about the 17. And we know that they are silent because the spokesperson, it's Nhlawumulo. And we know that Nhlamulo has close ties.
Yeah.
They are close, with very close, from Duduzile. What we have seen in Duduzile court appearance. And Duduzile now is painting a picture of, I didn't know I was approached. Really
Okay, guys, for context, because we literally just jumped right in. So the I think we all remember the Ukraine soldiers who cried out to South Africa saying they were stranded.
Yeah.
I remember the South African government went on to say that, okay, we need to investigate how you guys ended up there in the first place.
Yeah.
Come to find out, these kids, I think we can call them, most of them are kids. Well, these kids were recruited by Duduzile. Okay, not recruited, let's not put it like that. Let's do the chain of command, because she says she was recruited by someone else as well. So
allegedly.
So so Duduzile went so apparently Duduzile approached a few families, some even her sister in one occasion, and said that, you know, there's a great opportunity in Ukraine where your kids are not working. There's no employment anytime soon. So let them go work or train in Ukraine for some time and they'll be receiving email. So they go into Ukraine, but when the kids get there, they realize, well, hey, boy, it's not what we were promised.
We're literally in a literal war
and we're not prepared. So now you have Duduzile's sister taking her to court over this matter. And then now Duduzile is also opening a court matter.
Okay, come in a case.
Against the recruiter, because she says that I didn't know, I thought I was helping these kids. So guys, honestly, at this point, you guys were talking about it in the car on the way here, and in terms of where was the verification.
But then you know, I'm coming to answer the verification part. It's interesting how the parents of these kids who are taken, or these guys who are taken to Russia, they're saying, Duduzile told us that, they are saying, I'm not saying that. Duduzile said, we need to go there for a training, we will become a security bodyguard.
Right.
And then when we come to South Africa, we will become a king, bodyguards for MK officials.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, there's an audio on Sunday Times whereby I think it's Butelezi, one of the recruiter, it's calling those guys. So, Ibo Chief, why are you crying? Why are you calling your mothers and telling them that you're stranded in Ukraine? Man up, man. You can't be calling your girlfriends and everything. There's an audio for that.
But you guys, please, man, pull up your balls, man. You guys don't have balls. Honestly, you don't have balls. I'm being honest, guys. You don't have balls. You don't have balls. All of you. All of you are running. Guys, there is a problem. Stand up and solve it there. Instead, you'll phone your mother. You'll phone your sister. Phone this. No, my daughter don't want to train. What? Aye, guys, come on, man. Because I have seen you guys that you are panicking and you were not psychological. You guys were not psychological ready for what is happening, honestly. Maybe you were not used to stay outside of your families. It can be a challenge to anyone. Two, you can be scared just to be scared. Three, it can be fatigue. I don't want to lie. This group which has come, you have destroyed all the plans. You have made us pain. All these things which we're planning to do, it's hard to do it because of you guys. As you are crying like this, like babies, all of you, what is going to happen when you go home? Are you going to sit with your wife and tell your wife that, me, I'm a soldier? Your wife, which you are reporting, you are crying for water. You are crying that your SIM card is this. You are crying for this. How is she going to respect you? You have to stop it, my brother. You have to stop it.
You can't be calling your girlfriends and mothers and telling them that you are in a war. How do you want them to take? He even says literally, it's something about balls. Like, literally, he says that. And he tells them that you are ruining our plans.
Mm.
So my first concern is, what are those plans? Mm. I'm sorry to say this, but the way MK has been putting themselves, it's very questionable. They are wearing a military outfit. I don't have a problem with that.
I feel like I see where you're going.
I don't have a problem with that. Ne? But also, these guys are going in the middle of war, where they are being trained to be soldiers.
Yeah.
So I hope we are not going there. Let's not. I just hope. I just hope.
For those who caught it, you caught it. For those who didn't,
I just hope we don't go there.
But let's move it. Let's leave it. Yeah. Let's leave that one alone. But
so, so and interesting part, okay, I'm moving from that. Interesting enough, I listened to the audio of one of the interviews that Jane did.
Mm.
So this lady says, we were given a contract written in Russia. I'm like, that's the first red flag. And then there's a point whereby she says, some contracts were written one, some were written two, some were written three, some were written four. So now that she's thinking on hindsight, she's thinking that, okay, that means those who were written one, they will be there for 1 year. Those who have written two, they will be there for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and also it matches the audio because the audio says, hey, there's a group that, something like, there's a group that went and came back and you guys are ruining things. So I'm just worried about the whole thing. And I am hoping and praying that the MK party will come and have a briefing to give us, clarity, to their confidence to say, guys, this is not what you think. We are not involved in this thing. Duduzile was tricked. I hope they say that and they give us proof of that also.
But yeah, we'll see. But at this point, guys, do you think, my question now is that those people are stuck in Ukraine, and so far from Darko's side, there hasn't been really movement, or do you think there is? They're actually trying to get them back.
I think they are, but also it's not going to be an overnight thing, because as far as we understand, it's that even the former president Jacob Zuma written a love letter to Russia president Putin to say, can you please release those? And the way, you know, people have been portraying the relationship of Putin and Jacob Zuma, I would have expected that by this we'll have a clear picture of what is happening.
Definitely.
So it shows that even maybe the Russian embassy is not even aware of this thing.
I think so as well. I mean, it sounds as if they were placed in some sort of area that nobody knows where they are. I mean, even the video that Jeanette got, or was it the pictures that Jeanette got, you can see Rayman. Something's off, man. But guys, we'll look at that at we'll hope that obviously it gets sorted, that they get back into the country. But I feel like when they come back to the country, they might also face consequences of going that side, because Darko said that they're not allowed to go that
but
side.
But then it goes again to show the desperation in those who are looking for job opportunities. At some point, government should be held accountable also.
We're not going to jump into this conversation, guys. You cannot. Guys. Here's my thing. I get it. Mm. There's drastically high employment in the country. It's very, very scary. But when you now sign up to be a militant, to train.
It was written in Russia.
No, that's a problem here. When you sign up to train, whether or not it's written in Russian or not. The first red flag you said yourself is the fact that it was written in Russian. So now you didn't see it's Russian, it's a contract, and you don't know what's
saying. They say job opportunities, and then everything is written in Russian. And I'm like,
it's ridiculous. But my point is, we cannot say that we must blame a government. Do you know how there are countless amount of times government has come up to say, if you're going to do a job overseas, validate it with us.
You are not hearing me, Gwen. I am saying government should be held to a certain extent. Because obviously, I can't advocate for someone to steal someone's phone and say, I am unemployed. I was looking for an opportunity. I'm not saying that.
Mm.
But also, you should hold a government accountable to say, this person ended up doing 1, 2, 3 because of you.
Mm.
Yes, we'll deal with this particular person. But you as an individual, what are you doing to create employment for those who are unemployed? I mean, 60% of young people are unemployed.
Yeah.
And it's very scary. And you have your president saying, hey, it's not us who are supposed to create jobs. It's the private sector.
That's why there was a G20 summit. The G20 summit is going to help with job employment. I get what you're saying. We hope it does. And Banyaza probably will release more job opportunities down the road with programs. So
legally this time, hopefully.
but we will just see with those ones. But guys, and yes, but I feel like you can't do crime and then blame other things and then expect that.
I'm not advocating for that. Hand. Yes, I'm saying all those who were involved in that crime.
Anyway, guys, that's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on YouTube, Simplecast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can find us and follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan. This podcast is a Times Live and AMPB studio. And our producer is Demi Buzer, as well as other characters in the background. And don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horn, Business Day Spotlight, The Indigenous Corner with Gogo Zipo, as well as Deeply Rooted. Thank you for tuning in from us, myself, Gwena Mashali, and Herman. Thank you so much, and bye-bye.